Good afternoon. Thanks for coming today to hear about this important topic. My name is Matt Stinchfield, Brewers Association Safety Ambassador, and I'm here to introduce your next speaker to you. Before I do that, let me remind you that for this talk and every talk that you've seen this week, if you have downloaded the BA conference app here, find the talk, scroll down to the bottom and rate this seminar. Those ratings are very important to us to help us direct future conferences and speakers. So I'm sure you'll give this young fellow here a great review today. He really knows his stuff. Our speaker, and before I even introduce Steve, let me just say we'll take questions towards the end. There are microphones in the aisles, and because we're recording this and we'd like other people to be able to hear your questions, if you'd step up to the mic before you ask a question. And with that, I guess we'll introduce to you Steve Finney. He's the head brewer and owner of Little Thistle Brewing Company in Rochester, Minnesota. Rochester, right? Yes, Rochester, Minnesota, which is right near Minneapolis-St. Paul. And as soon as Steve begins to talk, you're going to know he's not from around here. He's a Scottish expat here living in the States with a tremendous experience that includes a fellowship at the Mayo Clinic, a doctorate in physical therapy, and practice in brain and spinal cord rehab and sports medicine. Steve did this for over 20 years, and in 2015 took the plunge into operating his own brewery, Little Thistle. So I hope you'll get a lot out of the talk today. I met Steve in 2015 up in Duluth, and I remember thinking ergonomics is something that we're not talking about enough in brewing, considering all the heavy weights we're lifting incorrectly and other things. And I'm sure Steve's going to give us some good solutions to some of those problems. So with that, please welcome Steve Finney.
Thanks, Matt. Thank you. I've got a mobile mic on here because I'm going to move around quite a bit. Can everyone hear me okay? And I was even thinking of moving these tables because I like to move around and demonstrate stuff as we're doing it, so I might be moving, keep you guys awake. First of all, thank you so much for coming. I know this Thursday afternoon, the last day of the conference, so this is a tough one. Anyone hurting out there? And what I mean is more so in the, everyone's probably hurting a little bit from late nights, but physically from backs, shoulders, necks. Anyone, show of hands, anyone there? Okay. And so, yeah, we're going to talk about this topic. It's a pretty loaded one, and by no means am I going to touch on everything. So this is more of a generic talk that's going to touch on some really important topics that I think just leads to more discussion. My email will be at the end. I'm happy to take questions, too. And so we'll go from there. But as Matt said, I've been a professional brewer for the past 4 years. This is our second brewery. And we opened actually in August just last year. So this is a topic that's very close to my heart. And being a physical therapist, a little bit on the backstory is I moved from Scotland to the United States almost 20 years ago. And I went to graduate school for sports psychology and counseling in Massachusetts. And so I did that because I was really interested in injury and the psychology of injury. And then I applied and got a fellowship at Mayo Clinic, which was a one-year position in sports medicine. I stayed there and then took on another job in research and did health and wellness research for about 4 or 5 years. Also a lot of personal training. And this was all for in the corporate world for Mayo Clinic employees. And then I went back to physical therapy school, got my master's in physical therapy, and then my doctorate in physical therapy. And all the while, homebrewing. So I've been homebrewing for about 20 years. And when I first came to the States, living in Massachusetts, in New England, it was probably Harpoon Brewery and drinking some of those beers in those early days for me that really turned me on to craft. And then also for me, I was a Guinness guy. So I was drinking Guinness all the time, thought that was the best stout. But once I started tasting some of the stuff made in Vermont and around New England and with wonderful chocolate flavors, roasted flavors, then, you know, I was kind of gone. So that was kind of my start to craft beer. But a few years ago, we decided to, me and my wife, take the plunge and open up our brewery from just as August. This is Little Thistle. The thistle is the flower of Scotland. I know everyone knows that. Everyone knows about the shamrock. But the thistle is a little resilient little weed that continues to thrive no matter where you put it. So that's kind of our story. Like a lot of your places and breweries, you have a space that you can use in multiple ways. So we're going to talk about yoga for a little bit, but we just started doing yoga classes. You can see the picture up there. We're even fortunate that we have some space out front. So we actually had some curling going on this winter, which is phenomenal. So that was fun. And we have a great staff. And you guys can talk to all of that. You know, it's not one person. It's a total team. So some great taproom managers, our beer tenders, the people on the front line who are really helping sell the beer and sell our product and sell our brand and who we're all about. The thistle is known as being a humble weed. So that's what we are. We want to be down to earth and be humble and be respectful to anyone who comes in the door. So, and that's just me and my wife here who, she's the CEO, she's the boss. So, let's just see here. I think I did change my slides. Yeah, here we go. So I'm going to review just some basics on ergonomics and then talk about some of the common types of brewing injuries. There's not a ton of stuff out there. And that's why this topic, I think, is very beneficial. We'll talk about some correct lifting, some sitting and workstation ergonomics. I've got a bunch of videos that we can look at. And then really the main body of this presentation is the next two. I want to talk about some stretching that you can do and some core strengthening. So when it comes to the human body, you have to have a combination of stability. So that's whereby you have to be strong and have core strength. But you have to have mobility, too. So it's a combination of the two that makes us efficient machines. The hard thing is, over time, and with age, we all get into bad habits. And over time, other muscle groups will compensate, and then it's the straw that broke the camel's back. You always hear about someone who's brushing their teeth, and they slip a disc. Well, it wasn't really the brushing of the teeth that slipped the disc. It was the 2 years before they're not lifting correctly. So that's really an important thing to think about, and we'll talk about texting and how wonderful that is for your neck and shoulders, too. But those two things really talk, really will emphasize how important or how easy it is to bring those two concepts together to develop an injury prevention program. Something you can do in your brewery or wherever you are, you just need a little bit of space, no fancy equipment, and you can do it for a few minutes a day. So we'll also talk about some resources where you can seek some help, and then just we'll take some questions at the end. So I'm going to flip back here. So why should employers want to listen to any of this? Because they're going to give up a little bit of time. Actually, I should ask first, in the room, how many people are brewers in the room? Okay. How many people, I mean, I don't want to segregate anyone, how many people are like in packaging or doing other stuff too? Okay, great. How many people are in sales who are maybe delivering kegs? Because we know that's fun work, lifting kegs. And then as soon as other people are in tap room or working the bar, and then admin, you know, all those people are sitting all the time. So everyone has kind of a risk with the job that you do, whether it's sedentary or if you're lifting all the time, bending and twisting. So just good to see where everyone's coming from. So some of these things is there's not a ton of research out there on ergonomics, but really, and when it comes to it, you know, having a more efficient body and system can help to reduce the number of days lost due to injury. Low back injuries are the most common. It can be a potential money saving for the employer. It can also help to improve staff morale. And it's a great way to support staff if you can't offer benefits. And that's a big one for us. We really want to get to a point where we can offer our staff some form of benefit. So this is our way of doing that now and providing maybe some lifting workshops and stuff like that to our staff. Increase productivity, and then also it helps to improve safety and ergonomics, and it's good for you. And the other thing that's timely I want to talk about, too, is there was a talk yesterday on mental health, too, and that's really important because the physical and the psychological go hand in hand. So how many people here are owners of breweries, too? Okay, so when you talk about stress, then some of those things can feed into it. If it's sleepless nights or just stress in general, those are all really important things. So I think this talk is applicable for a lot of people. So when you go on, the BA has some great resources. So you can go on there. They're free videos. So make sure you just take some time to look at what's available for you. Underneath safety is a loaded topic, and we all know about fall prevention, burns. We're familiar with all these things, and ergonomics is one of those things too. So I don't have to go through all of those, but we're going to focus on ergonomics. So ergonomics is really a study of people working, or their efficiency working in their environment. So some of this will be, you know, there's a lot of repetitive motions we do, turning tri-clamps, turning off, you know, multiple times a day, lifting bags, lifting kegs. Kegs are just a dead weight. Leaning, reaching, twisting, you name it. And so a lot of these things fall into where the world of physical therapy crosses over with brewing, because these are musculoskeletal disorders. That basically just means muscle and bone when you have an injury that relates to those. And so that is the focus of physical therapy, and I focused on that part for a large part of my life, and then only to give it all up to brew beer. But I love what I'm doing, and this is a way that I can kind of do both. So as you're sitting there, we're going to talk about sitting posture too, but standing posture is really important when we're standing a lot of the time during the day. So the person on the far left has ideal posture, and that just means slightly bent knees, tuck your butt in, squeeze your butt cheeks, and stand up straight, and think about maybe just a string pulling your head to the roof. Those are just some simple, I'll talk about simple analogies that you can think about just to include to your, talk to your employees or to yourself. There's other pictures in there too, and some are congenital, which means someone's born with a deformity in their spine. Those are different, and that's why someone obviously has a back injury, but I think it just exemplifies, you know, it's really important to make sure you're standing correctly and you're aligned correctly. So here's some, took some video of this coming up and talking about just lifting to start with. So a malt bag, and the most important thing, if you didn't know this already, is just making sure you stand with your feet shoulder width apart so you have a stable base of support. That's really important. You do bend your knees, not your back. Trying to keep your back nice and straight is important. And you can do that by just bending at the waist, right? So you'll see in the video here too. Keep the load as close to your body as possible. Avoid twisting, making smooth, gradual motions, taking small breaks throughout the day. And what I say is use your butt and your gut, okay? So if you're standing there, or there might be a little bit of interaction here where I'm going to actually ask you to do something. It's Thursday afternoon, it's after lunch. You can do most of it from your chair. But if you were to turn to your neighbor and pretend to punch him in the gut, the natural reaction is to tighten up and brace yourself. And so that's really what you need to do. You don't stop breathing, but you brace the butt and the gut. Okay, so that is your abdominal brace. And so I was going to talk about it later, but there's really not a lot of evidence to say that you should need to wear a back belt. In a former life, I did do a research study on that, and it's mainly just a mental reminder. So then rather than wearing the back belt, actually use your own brace is more important. So just think about that. And the alternative for picking something up that's light is the golf pickup. Does anyone know what that is? Anyone play golf? So it's basically where you're just going to go down and pick something up. So you just rotate on an axis. Does that make sense? So, I mean, instead of what happens, I think, in the brewery, is people are just bending all day. Okay? And over time, that can really hurt your back. So instead, you may want to squat properly, or you may want to do the golf pickup, which keeps your back in a neutral position. So, if that makes sense. So here's one of our first videos. And hopefully the model's doing right. So I'm going to show that again, okay? The most important things is you know, I'm bending my knees. So watch for the knees. Watch for keeping it close to the body. Watch for not bending too much. And then really the power move is the butt, okay? The butt muscles, you hear me say this again and again, they're one of the biggest muscle groups in the body, one of the biggest power-producing groups. So when you're in the brewery and you go from sit to stand or you're lifting, it all comes from the butt. So you think about pushing through the floor with your feet and generating force, then up through the butt. That's really where it is. So just watch it again and think about those things. And that's the safest way to do it in two steps. So guess, obviously, someone who's, you know, thinks they can do it all, will lift it up and just throw it right up on their shoulder. Problem is, then you're causing a lot of back extension, and that's when you put yourself at risk when you have a load with an extended spine. So trying to keep it neutral, and that's kind of like a two-step process to lifting. Does anyone own one of these things on the left? So just a simple winch, and it's about $1,000. And I get it, that's $1,000, but it's cheaper than having someone injure the back and workman's comp, right? So it can stack too high, and we have one of those, and we definitely encourage all our staff to use them. It allows everyone, there's no reason why any one of our staff can't lift a keg, because they can use that machine. Yeah, I can't remember the make of it there, but I could zoom in afterwards, yeah. They're pretty easy to put together. So the purpose of this video, again, is we can be macho and we can lift a keg, but if you have someone there to help you, ask for help. Okay, that's the hard thing. And I get it, some of us might be working in breweries on our own, and that's where the winch can come in helpful if you're able to afford that. The other thing you can do here, this is Monique, and I forgot her. What's that? And Nick, one of our employees. And you can make this into an exercise. Okay, so they can do the squat. So in one of the slides, I talk about specificity. So again, if you're going to train and you're an athlete, then you want to train exactly what you're doing. So lifting kegs like this is a good way to do it. So they're both doing squats, and they're shrugging their shoulder back in their socket, and they're trying to do nice lifts together and help each other out. So again, very simple concept, but asking for a little bit of help. So moving on to sitting, and sitting is an important one. I think even if you all think about how you're sitting right now, and I need to sit down and practice it. So if you're slouching, which probably most people are, then what you want to do is you actually want to roll forward and sit up nice and straight, and you'll roll onto what you call your seat bones, your butt bones. And so that's a simple cue of if you're sitting back there rolled on your, and your back is curved, then just lean forward and get on your butt bones. And that will align everything. Okay, so that's a really simple way to do that. You can also, if anyone does have a back injury, rolled up towel is good at the lumbar spine. And you can see this is a nice contoured chair that does have that lumbar support. So again, is after a long, hard day, or if you're driving, you're dropping off kegs and you're driving, then that's something you can do for support. But in general, when you're talking about sitting posture, the laptops make it a little bit more challenging. Just means that you have to raise the laptop. So you could put on a few books, or in the next slide, I'll show you what we did at our brewery, where I like to work from. But you can see this kind of 90-degree angle at the knees and the hips. That's really important. Back support, and then also that you can see the person's sitting nice and tall. They're not leaning forward, because that can put a lot of pressure on the neck and shoulder muscles. And the computer is at eye level. So those are some basic ergonomic concepts that have been talked about for years. So this is how shameless plug for the brew house we have, but I use my grain mill there a lot for typing at, because I can stand. So standing workstation. So anyone who has hip injuries or hip problems or knee problems, you can stand and just, you know, work away there. So, and then you can adjust the screen to make it, you know, at eye level. So some simple things there. And it's the little things that add up. It really is. So these are simple concepts, but the hardest thing is us as human beings if we can practice them. So this is another big enemy, I think, of us right now, is the world we live in with texting. So just be really careful and try and limit your time. I know we all do it, but over time it can cause some major problems. So when I still talk to my colleagues who are practicing physical therapy, they see a lot of neck problems because of this. And so really important that you try, and even if you bring the phone up to your face more so, or you limit your time, then or even I use Siri a lot, but Siri doesn't always understand Scottish accents, so some of my text messages are a little funny that people receive, but at least I'm saving time on my neck and stuff doing this. And so if you ever want to watch something funny, go on and type in Apple Scotland, because actually when Apple released the iPhones, they had major problems in Scotland, Ireland, Australia, and Wales because of the voice recognition. So, and you've got to be careful of those extension injuries too. So can't be doing that. So what do people think are the most common brewing injuries? I'll just shout them out. What about backs? You think that's one of the most common? Any other ones? Knees? Shoulder? Elbow? Toes? From dropping? Dropping stuff? Any others?
Concussions.
There was one of the major, when I did this research on this, there was a concussion of someone stacking their empty kegs too high and fell on an employee's head, a young lady, and it's a traumatic brain injury. And so now we learn more and more about this. You know, years gone by, we thought that was just, you know, a knock on the head, but it was it's a traumatic brain injury when you get hit that hard. You could have some neck issues, but also some memory issues, stuff like that. So yeah, kegs and head injuries, wrists, fingers, you name it, there's a lot of stuff. And there's not really a ton of research out there. The research that is out there is mainly on production lines or people in you know, who are bottling or canning. And the two things I saw was like a low back injury or someone was either was a finger injury. So, but I think we know from just real life experience, these are real things that happen. And shoulder injuries and back injuries are pretty common. And we'll talk on those too. So what are the simple things you can do? And I challenge each and every one of you in this room that you can all do this. Or speak to your employer, and this will not take long in your weekly routine. What you can do is check in with your posture. Easier said than done, but just you can help, you know, try and lift correctly, like some of the basic things we talked about. You know, partnering up with someone, lifting a keg. And the main part of this presentation is talk about some stretches we're going to show here shortly, and then also core strength, okay? And these, again, are everyone has a history. Everyone brings something to the table with different injuries. So it's not as if you can just say this will work for everyone, but this is kind of a good overlooking kind of a recipe book for what some things you can do. Clearly, if you have a pre-existing condition, then you have to check in with your physician or physical therapist. The other thing I mentioned before is really important to practice relaxation and meditation. Stress can lead to a lot of these injuries, and actually if you get injured, this can make healing that much worse too. So there's some great apps out there that you can use that are cheap or free. And specificity, it all depends on your brewery. Your brewery is different, and you'll see from the videos I have, we didn't use any fancy equipment at all. So you'll see that. And so I challenge you again to be able to do this stuff in your own brewery. And in fact, I think this whole presentation is it available for people to see afterwards? So you could basically just take these exercises, have a few stations around your brewery, and you just do each one for 20 seconds. So that's kind of what it is. In general, it's important to do something different. So regular exercise or physical activity that's away from the brewery not only is a good mental break, but in general, it's good for exercise. So here we go, and you can do these ones in sitting. So I'd like you to try these ones. They're simple and still effective. Like I said, 15 to 20 seconds each, and you do all of them, that's 5 minutes. And there's a lot of times in the brewery or in different parts of the brewery, if you're, like I said, if you're an admin or packaging, you have some downtime. This is stuff you could all do together. So first one is just making sure a wrist stretch. So all you're going to do is make sure you lock out your elbow, and then you're just going to push your wrist down, okay? So I don't know about anyone had any tennis elbow issues. I know I just got over some major tennis elbow. It's incredibly painful. And so some of the things you can do is just a simple stretching program. We'll talk about bracing and stuff too. So, and then just switch over and do the other one, okay? So you don't need to be anywhere to do this. You can do this sitting, standing, whatever. So Monique's doing this one too. And for me, you know, the repeated loosening and tightening of tri-clamps just would kill my elbow. So, and sometimes I spoke to another brewer the other day who said, you know, after 6 months, it finally disappeared. And a lot of these things do, but for some people, it can cause major pain and can really get in the way of things. So next stretch too is just from here is make sure you bring your hand up and over to your ear and then pull down. Just gently, too. Really gentle is important. And when you do all of these, I encourage you to make sure you're breathing nice and gently. Okay? So just in through your nose and out through your mouth. Because if you're really tense, then it kind of defeats the object of some of this stuff. So again, these aren't things that, you know, on day one is going to make a dramatic difference. But if you're doing this a few times a week, it can. It really can. And just taking the moment to slow down and stop. So essentially with shoulder pain, this is a big one. I don't know about you guys, I hold a lot of tension in my neck and shoulders, so it's good to stretch here. Quads, okay? So quads is another big powerhouse that we use. So Monique's doing one here, and I stand here, but what's really important is that she's holding on to her lower ankle. She's not holding on to her foot. A lot of time people will hold on to the foot, and the foot bends all the way backwards, and all you're doing is getting an ankle stretch. So you want to hold at the base of the shin, okay? And you're also going to get a pec stretch at the same time. So when you do that, stand nice and straight. You should feel a nice stretch on your thigh. So again, 20 seconds on this one. A little harder to do when you're sitting down, but hamstrings. I guarantee, I'd almost put money on it, that the majority of people in this room have really, really tight hamstrings who are working in the brewery. So hamstrings are a big contributor to back injuries, low back injuries, and it's all about their attachment because they attach behind the knee and then they go up and attach at the lower back at the butt area. So if those are tight, it has been linked to low back injuries. So something really simple you can do, you can even do it sitting. So if you stick one leg out in front of you that's straight, so you might have to scoot to the forward the end of your chair, one leg is straight and the heel is touching the floor, and then sit on those seat bones, keep your back straight, and you're just going to lean forward a tiny little bit. And you shouldn't have to lean forward far, and then you can feel, you know, a tightness in the back of your butt or behind your knee. Okay, so that's a simple hamstring stretch. And it can be very effective. I got a little video here to show you, too. So we got Nick doing one here at the brewery. So notice how he just keeps trying to keep the back straight. But he doesn't have to come forward hardly anything before he feels it. So I'll play it again. So watch how far he has to come before he feels the stretch. It's like 2 degrees. And then the other thing you can do here, and he's just doing it at the brew house steps, is then he starts working his ankle up and down. So what that does is it's similar to flossing, like the analogy of flossing your teeth. So this allows to help to move the muscles a little bit in the fascia, which is the surrounding tissue, and the nerve tissue too. So this is a really good one, again, just to get things moving. Because, like I said, how many people here think they've got tight hamstrings? Can they touch their toes? You know, so it's pretty common. And so watch it again and watch how much forward Nick comes, and then watch him trying to move his ankle up and down, and notice that he can't do it with his knee straight. He has to bend his knee, so that means he's even tighter. Okay, so those are the things that, as a physical therapist, I'd be looking for. These are kind of screening techniques. So, not much. Plus, it was the first time that Nick had done these things too, so there's definitely a learning effect. Back extensions. So if anyone, I'll tell you this too, if anyone has, again, you should always check with a physician or physical therapist, but if someone, everyone here ever blew a disc in their back or a lumbar, yeah, a few people. So one of the most common treatments right away is to lay on your stomach and then working your way up onto your elbows. The reason that is it helps centralize the disc. And mostly people blow a disc when they flex forward and there's protrusion backwards and that hits the nerve and it feels really, really bad. And so it's all about anatomical kind of and positioning. So if you want that disc to go back central, then you lay on your tummy. So if you ever blow a disc, that will be the initial treatment from a physical therapist. Ice right away, but trying to lay on your tummy to centralize that disc. So one thing you can do as a preventive measure is do this stretch. So right here, I can stretch back. You can do it sitting too. So you just put your hands on your hips and then you stretch back. You're going to be limited by the chair, obviously. So Nick's doing that one on the right. And then Monique on the left is just using the brew house stairs to push against there. This is very similar to, anyone do yoga here?
How many people actually have yoga in their breweries, too? It's quite a few. So there's no excuse if you're doing yoga in your breweries, and that's something you can jump in on, too. But in yoga, can anyone remember? I've forgotten it for a second. That's one of the moves, too, is cobra. What's that? Upward facing dog, yeah. So just in a back extension. So never work through pain, but that's another good one, too. Just for, these are all about mechanics. And yeah, forward flex position. So pecs too. So the pectoral muscles are a huge one, okay? Because I think in the world we live in, we all live in this anterior world, which means, you know, forward world. We're all texting, we're on mobile phones, and we get tight in these anterior or forward muscles. So the pecs are intricately related to neck and shoulder problems because they're a big old muscle that attaches on the side of your arm here, and then they attach to the chest. And so a lot of times in the brewery, I've seen it in myself too, I'll compensate and I'll pull in the pecs. And, you know, it can change the mechanics of your shoulder too. So starting off with just having something behind you, you can do it, if you can do it in the chair right there, see a few people doing it. It's not too difficult. You can also just put your hand against anything, a doorway or something like this, and just get a nice stretch and then stay there 20 seconds or so. So you can see Monique's doing this one here and just holding on to some of the piping there we have in the brewery. So another great one is a lat stretch. Your latissimus dorsi, or these, that big muscle. So when you see the big bodybuilders and you look at their back, you'll see that big triangular muscle that comes all the way from their shoulders all the way down to actually to their butt. So another really important one. So if you know child's pose in yoga, that's what this one here is. And it feels great. So you can do it just in standing too. So just holding on to the brew house railing and just getting down there and just letting it stretch and breathe. So that's another great one you can do. But if you flip that around and if Nick was laying face down, that would be child's pose, which is a pretty common yoga slide, yoga exercise. Or you can just do a side stretch like Nick's doing on the right. Okay? So these are the reason I took these two, these are all major muscle groups. I didn't just pick them out of a hat. These are major muscle groups with a good reason of why you should do them. Rotation stretch too. So again, as you could do this on the floor, and you can pull your legs one way and your shoulders goes the other way, but the whole idea here was to give you some stuff you can do actually on the job. Okay, so again, she's holding, notice her feet placement is going forward, her hips are facing forward too, and the only thing that's really rotating is her upper body from the pelvis upwards. So that's getting rotation in the spine. That's what we want, okay? We don't want the feet and the hips turning with this. So that is the important thing with a lot of this stuff. It's really making sure you're doing it right, which is really important. Rotator cuff injuries. I'm sure people have had problems with this too. I have also. So again, making sure your shoulders are facing forward and you just do this. Don't twist, because then you're actually just rotating your spine. If you want to focus on the shoulder, then just pull the shoulder right across. Should feel good. 20 seconds again. And I've spent a fair bit of time talking through those, but that's it, right? That's the stretching stuff. So that basically is from kind of lower half to upper half, and you can zip through those real quick. And these slides are all made available, so you could just, if you have in your brewery, you have a few staff that can all get together, this is something you could do at stations. Put on some music, set a 20-second timer. Every 20 seconds you change, 5 minutes you're done. So this is something that we've already started doing and will be doing, and I have to do it. I have to do it myself, too. It's a preventive measure. So moving on to core strengthening. These are a little harder to do for you guys sitting, but there's video to show you, too. So I showed you guys earlier on how you can, you know, do a squat with a bag of grain. And this is kind of the premise I think about. You have to be careful with things like kettlebells and these kind of classes. And what's the other one? My brain's escaping me. CrossFit, right? So there's CrossFits everywhere. In fact, when we're trying to find a space for our brewery, all the best spaces were taken by CrossFits. Incredibly frustrating. But CrossFits also, they're good, But I also saw a lot of people who had injuries going to CrossFit, because if they don't have that mobility and stability to start with, and then you start adding load on top, it's only a matter of time before an injury occurs. So really important that you do some of the stretching, and then you build the core strength on top of it. So there's, let's see what we got. I think we got Monique.
Okay, live.
Okay, so there's a lot going on here, and before we even start adding load, we're just going to make sure people can squat correctly. In the physical therapy world, this would be a screening technique. You just watch people squat, and you can see an awful lot. You can see their knee cave in. Anyone had ACL surgery here? Those things? So they've probably been through some rehab, and you can see a lot when someone squats. The hard thing is nowadays, when you watch people, a lot of people don't know how to squat correctly. So what you can do, and there's a shameless plug for Union Jack. This is one of their plows from my mash tun. You can use a brush. You could use anything that's straight. And the whole key is here is that it touches the butt and it goes up to the neck, that straight line. So you keep your back straight. And the whole thing that we're trying to have Monique do here on the left slide is for her butt to come down and touch one of the steps. Her nose is going to go over her toes, and she's going to squat backwards. Just watch it again, you'll see what I mean. Then we'll do it with load. So.
Okay, live.
So that's the cue, is to touch the step.
Okay, now
so if you're doing, the way I envision this, you could do this as a circuit, and you do one with no weight. But you just have to get the technique down, because a lot of times you'll see people, I know people can see me here, they ask me to do a squat and they do this. Okay, and it's really bad form. It's bad for your knees. And what you want to do by leaning backwards is you're recruiting the glutes. And the glutes, again, are the magic weapon here in all of this stuff. If you start lifting incorrectly and bending all the time, you're kind of shutting the glutes off, if that makes sense. You have to use them or you'll lose it. So showing the next slide here. The other thing too, well, maybe here, let's look at this one too. She's doing a good job. Her knees aren't caving into the middle, which is sometimes you'll see that with hip weakness. But you want to make sure that those knees are apart. They don't, again, is that they're not going to cave in. And you see that again, is that's a lot of the rehab after ACL surgery. So squats with weight. So here's me doing some stuff. 55-pound bag of grain, and trying to include all those principles we just talked about. So take a peek. Hopefully it's not too bad. So. And you can stop and take a break and hold it there too. But it's all in the glutes. So again, if you're going to lift and you want to practice lifting correctly, this is a great place to start, and just repetition. It's going to be ideal if you have someone else with you who can visually tell you if you're doing it good or not. So getting some feedback is really important. Okay, so again, we're just getting creative. So rows are kind of the opposite of, like I said, is the pecs, and those forward muscles get tight. What we really want to work on is those posterior muscles. So we can use rows for this. We can use a TheraBand, you can use weights, you can use a keg. And so this one, you can use buckets. We all have access to buckets and put some water in it. There's lots of different things you can do. So you can get creative and go. Okay, and again, look at the placement of her feet, shoulder width apart. Her back is actually straight. It's just bent over a little bit, but she's actually straight. And I think the principle with all of this stuff, if you can remember, is that, you know, people go and work out. And I used to be a personal trainer for a long time. People have headphones on. So you can either be in the moment and you can be listening to the music, but are you really thinking about what you're doing? Right? So when you're working out, you should be engaging the abdominals and the glutes. You should be focused on what you're doing, okay? And I think that's really important, is not just doing the exercise and going through the motions, but is your form good, and your feet stable, apart, on balance, all those things. So let's see. Planks. So had a lot of fun with planks because, you know, you typically can do them on the floor, but you can do them against a vertical wall, against an angle. And then also in here, I'm using our Union Jack piece again to do what we call, so don't do this if you're not a physical therapist, but as a physical therapist, I'm used to pushing people around and touching people and making them work hard, right? Because that's what you do is you want to push them off balance, and that makes the body react. And so if you've ever done planks and someone's pushing you around, it is incredibly hard. So it may look easy, but the principle is definitely one of stabilization. So here's Nick. On the radio, it says snowstorm, and that's like happens all the time in Minneapolis. So in that one there is Nick was doing a number of exercises. So I wanted to show a bunch of stuff in the video. He's just starting with a plank and holding it, and then there's him being pushed around, and that just really makes him tense up and hold it in all the right places. You can do planks without squeezing your glutes. You can. You can cheat. You can cheat in every way. So you really, when you do that, you want to embrace and squeeze the butt cheeks. You do. So really important. And then what he was doing is he was lifting alternate legs. Again, works the glutes again, works the low back really well, similar to like a front crawl leg kick in swimming. And then we bring in the arms, alternate arms, and that's like Superman's, those are sometimes called. Then that becomes more of a balance exercise and really quite challenging. And again, you'll see that stuff in yoga too. So here's Monique doing it over on a barrel here. If you watch her face real closely, she's smiling and laughing because to work hard.
Works, so.
It does.
Okay, then just your legs, just back a little bit of time, the smaller the better, right? There you go. Okay, looks good.
So we're doing this in between filling kegs. You can see all the kegs in the background. We're getting everyone ready to fill kegs, and we have some downtime. So she's going a little too high.
Thank you, good.
And if you go a little too high, what you'll see there too is she starts to extend her spine. We don't want that. So it's tiny little movements to maintain stability through your spine. So quite a few exercises in one there. Arm raises. This is a common one as treatment for after rotator cuff surgery. Really important. There's a specific muscle group that we're working on here. And so she's just, obviously she should have protective eyewear on and gloves, but we're using Starsan in a contained vessel. So one arm at a time.
And both together. Good, thumbs up, great.
So with that one, if you, again, just the message that I'm, you know, trying to put across there too is standing, feet shoulder width apart, knees slightly bent, recruit the glutes and the abs, and then start lifting, right? And we're not doing this, right? We're keeping it controlled and we're lifting, okay? Thumb is facing upwards, and when we do these, we're not doing it directly forward, we're going at a 45-degree angle and lifting. That's much easier on the particular group of muscles. So it's very specific why we turn and we lift the thumb upwards. It prevents some impingement in this area of your shoulder. And anyone who's had rotator cuff problems, they'll know exactly what that is. It doesn't feel good. So this is a great way to lift properly for the shoulders. TheraBands are a very, very cheap thing you can buy. So you can go to Walmart, you can go to Target, wherever. Different colors. Usually the darker color means it's more resistance. Very cheap, And these are good ways you can use for, there's an example here of some rows and some lower extremity stuff for the hips. So this first one here, I like this one a lot. These are pretty tough progressions, but just watch and then we'll talk about it too. Oops, too far there.
Go.
Make it a little bit more challenging, one leg. And do you think your glute muscles have to work there to stabilize you? And your abdominals? Absolutely. Try and do it one-legged and maintain your balance. So great way to recruit all those muscles. It forces you to do it. Nick was on kneeling first, then half kneeling, then standing, then one leg. So those are just some simple things you can do. I was going to say, you don't need a lot of space, but you can see she kind of smashed in the fermenter there. But these are a great one, again, great for your hip muscles. Anyone who's had ACL surgery, again, I guarantee you did this stuff. Just to make sure, all the strength comes from the hips in this one. Even though it's around the knees, it's the hip muscles that are producing the force. I'm going to wrap this up here, and then we'll take some questions. So really, the stretching and the strengthening make up a large part of a suggested program, a very simple program that you could do in any of your businesses. It's important, obviously, to do some lifting education that we talked about. And even if it's 5 minutes at the start of a staff meeting, encouraging people to take a few rest breaks or micro breaks. We talked about the brew house exercises, and if you can do all of those in 10 to 15 minutes. So again, as an employer, if you're an employer in this room, I really ask you to see if you can spare a little bit of time to help your employees and give back. And like I said, you might not be able to afford health insurance, but this is a great way to do that. Adequate hydration, yoga classes, core strength. So if you do yoga classes in your brewery, why aren't you there? Okay, so that's a good one. Breathing and relaxation and meditation too. We talked about this a little bit, but obviously if you're coming off an injury, you can wear a knee brace. So you see the person there with the knee brace, helps to provide compression, can reduce swelling, provide some stability, and you just feel a little bit safer. But you don't want to get used to wearing that all the time. The one below is for tennis elbow. So really important for tennis elbow. This does work. It basically just reduces the tension between the muscle that attaches to the tendon. So that's what it does. It just pinches it and it reduces the physical forces going through that point. And you can buy some very simple kinesio tape and just tape that right at your elbow too, and that will take away the majority of the pain. Okay, but just remember when you take it off, it's still might be a little painful. These are some other things you can do, some simple tools. A tennis ball for massage. The other one there that's underneath the guy's back is called a peanut, and that's perfect because it does massage and it fits right between the vertebrae and your spine, so you can work that up and down your spine. So that's a great exercise. Along with this guy over here. I don't know if anyone possesses any of this equipment. These are all very affordable and you can use at home. So the foam roller is a great one. I already talked about this. We do yoga in our brewery. And then just beware if you want to do kettlebells or CrossFit, again, as me as a medical professional, also as a brewer, just really make sure you have the foundations. You know, anyone who goes straight into anyone done kettlebells here? Yeah, is it easy? No, and it's an incredible amount of work on technique. And you can easily do it wrong because it's kind of ballistic. You're throwing these kettlebells around, and if you don't have your form down, you could really hurt yourself. Same with CrossFit, too. So they have their place, and I know people love them. Just make sure they're done correctly and with some well-educated instructors. Here's kind of what we propose. We do some yoga in our place. We're trying to recruit more males. So it is known as unbendy, dude-friendly yoga. And you get a beer and a donut afterwards. You know, that might be counterintuitive, but we have a growing number of people come to do yoga at our brewery. So And last things to talk about, when to seek help. If you have persistent pain, big one is night pain. If you wake up with pain at night, that is a major red flag that something's going on, okay? It might be. I mean, don't want to stress you too much, but that is a big one. Onset of weakness. If you notice you're losing some strength, that's another one. Another big one is any changes in bowel or bladder control. So an example of that would be if you were heavy lifting and you felt something in your back, or you fell and you hurt your back, and then after that you had some problems, you need to seek medical help too. Because those in your lower spine, the nerves that control your back are also ones that control bowel and bladder. So if there's any injury to there, then you need to seek medical help. Any sensory changes in numbness and tingling too, then you should, you know, forward and check in with someone too. That's it. I'll take some questions. My email's there too. I'm happy to take any questions over email. And yeah, thank you. Thanks for coming.
I just got a question about that blue flooring in your brewery. Is that non-slip? Is that just paint on? Or when do you got to do that?
The blue flooring? Well, it's very expensive, as most of you probably know. No, it was a local company in the St. Paul area who did it for us. So that was the top coating. Obviously, the brewery coating is requires more rigor than anywhere else. So that was just the color that we chose. Plus, it's the flag of Scotland too. So
there you go. I mean, does it work? Is it effective? Is it like it's sticky when it's wet?
And everything? It's not. I think what I tried to get across to them, I didn't want it to, to rip my squeegees apart if it was too much resistance. Right. So they actually did it really well. So it works well. Yeah. I don't know if that answers your question. I'm sorry. Oh, go on.
One of the things I was wondering when it came to knee injuries and recovery was we didn't talk about knee stretches or things to relieve knee pain. Is there anything you recommend? Because we were talking about torn ACLs, and I also broke my kneecap.
Yeah, yeah.
So, screwed up my knee quite nicely, but it, I wear a brace. And it swells up generally at the end of every day with brace, and it's a heavy duty brace, but like, what do you recommend that I can do to keep that maybe not swelling?
Yeah, I mean, so you have a pre-existing injury, right?
Yeah.
So you're getting over. So you're doing all the right things. I would ice after the end of every day. I would wear a good brace that's got enough support. The brace also can help prevent more swelling. Try to take breaks off of your feet, which is incredibly difficult. I know, but I would ask what kind of rehab program you're doing to strengthen your quads, hamstrings, glutes, so all those kind of things. So I would strongly recommend even the hip workout with the TheraBands going your side, making sure you can squat correctly, recruiting the glutes. Yoga class would be great if you have something you can attend. But really, there is a lot of strengthening you can do for that. The planks are perfect, because your knee is just in a straight, locked position. You're not moving it, but it does have to stabilize you. So that's one of the easiest, not the easiest, but one of the safest you can do too. So yeah.
So I'm just a home brewer, but I'm actually here with Erie Insurance. So I come from the other end of it. So I get to see a lot of the work comp claims that come in. So any of the owners that are in here, you know, just seeing from the back claims and all that, your experience mod can go up really high. You'll be paying a lot more premium. And also the underwriter, I'm a commercial underwriter, can actually debit your account based off of a number of work comp claims. So you can have a serious, serious premium increase based off of the work comp claim. So.
Wow. I should have come and talked to you, but are you able to give us any idea just roughly of, I mean, what the prevalence of stuff in breweries? I mean, I don't know.
Say that again?
The prevalence of injuries in breweries, because I couldn't really find much from research.
We just started our program. I spearheaded the brewery, winery, and distillery program for underwriting for us. And so we've had a number of claims. We have a couple pretty big breweries, Middle Market. We have Revolution Brewing out of Chicago and that. And so far, I mean, we've been doing pretty good. But, again, it's not so much the insurance carrier that actually gives you the premium increase. It's your experience mod through the workers' comp, and that's the big deal right there. So if you have one claim, and it's a shock loss, it's gonna hurt you for like 3 years. Your mod's gonna go up each year, and then it takes another 3 to 5 years to bring that down. Now, the way we look at it is, if it's one claim and it's a shock loss, we're not gonna do anything because it could just happen. Compared to like that guy that you said that had the concussion, you know, had the head trauma. But if you have small claims, you know, you have a $1,200 claim on your hand, and you have another one, you have 4 or 5 of these throughout the year, your experience mod can go up pretty significantly. So any of the owners in here, there is a big backlash on that. Not trying to scare you, but it's just what you're talking about is extremely important because I see the back end of it. So.
Oh, cool. No, thank you. Okay. Appreciate it.
Would you say there's any concern with like cracking your back during a work day or anything like that?
You know, we get that all the time, and even my son, who's 10, is starting to crack his hands, you know, and it's like, it doesn't really cause any harm if it's not causing pain. There's a theory that can help, you know, can cause arthritis later in life, because really you're just kind of, it gets basically oxygen escaping from between the bones. So in general, it's okay. I would try and avoid it if you can, you know, but if it happens as a byproduct of a stretch like this one, I could probably make my back crack. That's no difference from me or a chiropractor if I'm doing a manipulation. So you may actually just be doing a manipulation on yourself. And there actually is a lot of stuff you can do, those self-manipulations for your back and those things. So you're probably not doing any harm. If it causes pain, then that's a different matter.
Cool, thank you.
Yeah.
You began the presentation with a slide of different postures, and I was curious if you had any suggestions for people that might already have pre-existing injuries or compensatory patterns with postures.
Sure.
You know, that twist and contort you in different ways. If you can self-analyze those types of things, any resources as to where to go, like if I am constantly putting weight here and I have a shortened quadratus lumborum, how I stretch that, and any kind of resources if you're not getting yourself to the doctor or things like that?
No, it's a very good question. It gets a little bit more complex because who's going to give you the feedback or who's going to evaluate you? Most of it is because of our own behavior and how we find these positions. We just hang out on one hip. And then, like you say, over time, you get some tightness going on here. So the use of a mirror is good. If you can be self-aware, having a colleague recognize that too. Otherwise, you know, really the stretches that I provided there are pretty broad lasting, that if you do those, that will help to kind of stretch the most important muscles in the body. But if you sound like you're aware of where you're tight, then I think that's where it's important to seek, you know, a medical professional. And maybe if it's just one visit with a physical therapist or a physician, which I'm very aware of too, is that maybe some people don't have medical benefits and stuff like that. So if you're on your own, then, you know, you got to be aware of how you stand. And then I think you got to make sure that, you know, if you can do some of those basic exercises and core exercises, that's what it comes down to, is just there's an imbalance. And who's going to be able to identify for you? Is it a medical professional, or you can do it yourself? So it's a little tricky one.
Is there anything in particular you could suggest for someone who maybe experiences pain when they try to correct their posture or when they are doing these particular things in the correct manner?
Yeah, and it's tough because, again, as everyone comes with a different bunch of things in their history, so I'm always very careful when someone has pain, then you do have to kind of back off from that and wonder why. Because usually your body's telling you why something's going on if you have pain. So I'd be very hesitant to work through that or do anything. Some of the simple things you can do is stand against the wall and make sure your posture is good, you know, those kind of things, or sitting. And there's some good videos on YouTube and stuff like that too, if you also go through, you know, a good search on YouTube for those things from physical therapists. So I suppose those are kind of some things I would ask. But if you're having pain, I'd be careful kind of trying to correct all yourself. You kind of need an extra set of eyes to take a peek at you. Or the thing in one of my slides there said, if we all work in breweries, we all probably know a physician or a medical professional. And if you like beer, then can you ask a favor, you know? If they're off the clock, you have to be careful that they're not going to, like, you know, they're always going to say seek a medical professional after that. Okay.
Steve, thanks very much. We're out of time. Appreciate the great questions and a superb presentation. It was really helpful for everybody here. So just a reminder, folks, go to the app, find the presentation, give Steve a rating, and we will see you next year at CBC. Thank you very much.